The last couple of months have been especially troublesome when it comes to food-related illnesses. A problem with romaine lettuce that was grown in Arizona has led to nearly 200 people becoming sick and 5 people dying in 35 states. The lettuce was tainted with E. coli. And now pre-cut fruit, including watermelon, honeydew, and cantaloupe, has been recalled off the shelves of many major supermarket chains in at least 8 states because of an outbreak of salmonella. So what can be done to limit these foodborne bacteria? Could a law signed by President Obama in 2011 be making a bigger difference? With me to talk about that via Skype is Pat Buck. She's executive director at the Center for Foodborne Illness Research and Prevention. So, Pat, what are the most high-risk foods when it comes to these food-related illnesses?
Well, the high-risk foods have in the past been generally associated with ground meats and poultry, okay? But since 2006, when the spinach outbreak occurred, we became aware of the fact that food contamination could be produced in other food products, such as leafy greens. Then in 2009, we had the peanut butter outbreak that helped us understand that foodborne illness can be carried by a processed food. We've had outbreaks involving eggs, of course, which have been high profile, and ice cream, of all things. You don't normally associate that with foodborne illness. Cheeses, of course. The list is rather long. When we talk about high-risk foods, however, it's those foods that are typically associated more often with a foodborne illness outbreak. This becomes very, very difficult to define, that list of high-risk foods, because, of course, the food industry does not want their product on the list. It is difficult to get the data.
All of that leads me into the bigger picture question, which is, if we go back to 2011 and the Food Safety Modernization Act, which President Obama signed into law, what has happened with that? There are some people who are concerned that either none of it has been implemented or just a limited portion. What are your thoughts about that, and how big a difference could it make?
The Food Safety Modernization Act was a sweeping change. In other words, we totally revamped the way FDA does oversight of food, totally revamped it. Instead of being reactionary, they were now required to be proactive and look for it instead of just reacting to events when they occurred. To make that kind of change, the law put in place lots of provisions to help FDA meet the new challenges of being a proactive organization. But when you start from scratch, which FDA did, you have a huge task of putting in place regulations. There were no regulations that were proactive. They were all reactive. So they had to put in place 7 different rules, which they spent a lot of time working on. And then once they had them defined, they had to issue them out for public debate, which they had thousands, hundreds of thousands, I think, of comments from the public about these new rules. And then they had to go through the process with OMB to get it finalized. Any new regulation that has to go through that regulatory process is generally going to take 4 to 7 years to reach completion. So in that sense, FDA is certainly on track. The next problem that FDA has had and that the Food Safety Modernization Act has had is getting appropriations. When Congress passed the law, they did not appropriate any money to implement it. So that means every year, different groups go to congressional policymakers and say, we need you to put money in place so that the new centers for food safety excellence can be built.
Are there things that could be done to speed up the process or other aspects that could almost be a companion to FSMA to make things happen a little bit faster and protect people in the best way possible, which most people in that position want to do?
We are working on some of those things, increasing the appropriations for training of FDA inspectors and of the food producers has gone a long way in making FSMA more likely to be implemented. I think that the food safety education programs that our organization works on, I'm a member of the Partnership for Food Safety Education, has gone a long way to educate the consumers about the things they can do right now to reduce their risk for foodborne illness. I think that we have an obligation as consumer groups to identify things that FDA or USDA can do to improve food safety. And of course, when you're talking about FDA, you're talking about FSMA. For example, in May of this year, the consumer groups and other groups wrote FDA and asked for an immediate rule within the next 6 months to better trace back high-risk foods like leafy greens, to provide advice and communications to the leafy green industry and consumers about which products have been contaminated.
Nothing is ever going to be perfect. I think we know that in many aspects of things. But how close do you think we can get if FSMA is implemented fully, if the technology is up to date? How close can we get to 100% food safety?
Oh, my. You know, when you think about the food safety continuum that starts long before FDA has anything to do with it, or USDA for that matter, and when you think of all of the points along that with distribution and with retail practices, whether it's in grocery stores or in restaurants, and then with the household management of food, there are many, many points where contamination can occur. It's going to be a long time before I would feel satisfied that the United States had done everything that it should do to improve food safety.
Pat Buck is Executive Director at the Center for Foodborne Illness Research and Prevention.